Welcome to the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD, where we talk about anything farm, fresh, and food-related. My name is Sarah Severson. I'm your host today. And today we have with us in the studio Gretchen Gronke, Community Health Organizer for Montezuma County, here to talk about the new Cortez Evening Farmers Markets and an upcoming seed-saving school. Welcome to the show, Gretchen.
Thanks for having me, Sarah.
Yeah, thanks. I should say welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about what's happening with the new Cortez Evening Farmers Markets.
So we are having an evening market the first Tuesday of the month. We started last Tuesday, so it runs July through October. So the dates are July 1st, August 5th, September 2nd, and October 7th, the first Tuesday of the month. And it is in City Park down on Main Street, the one right there by the Visitor Center. And it runs from 4 to 7 p.m.
Okay, great. And what can you find there?
We have, in August, we're going to have more food producers coming out, which I'm really excited about. So we'll have local produce, local meats, local eggs, local jams and jellies, and some, hopefully next month we'll have some baked goods as well. And then there's artisans with a whole array of things, pottery, watercolor, hand-painted cards, all kinds of artwork, which was really fun to see. Handmade little tables out of beautiful wood, photography, and then we have a couple educational groups. Firewise was there last year, and the Montezuma School to Farm Project was there with produce, as well as letting people know the good word about the school gardens. And then we have music. And a couple prepared food vendors, folks who are cooking up food fresh, Monica Marty, who does the pizza truck, the wood-fired pizza truck, and then Laura, who does the crepes. So you can come get some food and enjoy food in the park, listen to music, and then also stock up on your local goods for the rest of the week.
Wow, so a whole array of things happening there. And tell us a little bit about how this came about in the first place. We know we already have a Saturday farmers market happening here mm-hmm. in Cortez. So why add an evening market?
Well, in my job as a community health organizer, I get to talk to a lot of people. And a lot of feedback that I heard was that people like to hang out in their pajamas on Saturday mornings and sip on their coffee. And, folks in our area work really hard. And I feel like a lot of people work, one or two jobs and are busy all throughout the week. And on Saturday mornings, they're just looking to hang out and have a relaxing morning. Or they have kids and they just want to take it easy on Saturday mornings. So I got feedback from a lot of people that they weren't purchasing local food because they didn't go to the Saturday market. And since we only have a limited amount of local food sold in storefronts, I got together with a group of volunteers who are interested in promoting more local food and local arts and community in general, bringing people together with something healthy to do. And we decided, all right, well, let's try an evening market. And there was one evening market last summer, so we decided to build off of that. And let's try it monthly, once a month, so that people can get in a rhythm and a routine and everybody can know that it's going on before they miss it. So that's how it came about, is really just that feedback from folks. And so trying to give people another opportunity to purchase local food and local goods and also hang out in a healthy space and participate with the family and healthy community.
Okay, well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. Today we have in the studio with us Gretchen Gronke, Community Health Organizer for Montezuma County. We're talking about the Cortez Evening Farmers Market, a new market in Cortez. So tell us a little bit about how it went for the first time last Tuesday.
We had a great time out in the park. We had some nice shade to set up in, and we had a really good, diverse group of vendors there, some great music, and the main thing we need is we need more people to come out. We need people to support those folks, because it's a lot of work to harvest a bunch of food or prepare your artwork and set up your booth and haul everything around. It's a lot of work. So in order for it to make it well worth those folks' time, we need more people coming down. We had a great turnout this last time, and I'm hoping for a way better turnout in August. And it's great because as the season progresses, as we get towards October, we're going to have more food each month, and hopefully more people will show up each month. So it'll be a nice progression with that. So we're hoping for a good turnout in August.
Great, kind of get that habit formed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one question we have around farmers markets a lot of times is having them be economically viable for folks, having them be able to go purchase food there that's not extraordinarily expensive, that mm-hmm. fits within their budget. Mm-hmm. So is the Cortez Evening Farmers Market working within that concept at all?
You know, the farmers just set their prices, and it's tough because it's a lot of work to grow food, and it's a lot more work to grow food by hand than it is to grow it on an industrial scale. So, you know, some things you're going to find, some products are going to be cheaper than they are in the store. Other things are going to be more expensive than what's in the store.
And how do you shop, you know, within that frame? You know, how do you shop so that you can make your dollar go farther? Do you have tips for people around that?
I would look for what the farmers have in a huge pile on their table, like when the zucchini starts to come on or summer squash. Look for what the farmers have in abundance and a huge amount of. And that's probably what's going to be the greatest deal at that time. You know, tomatoes are going to be more expensive at the very beginning season and the very end of the season. But when there's a lot of tomatoes on, you're going to get a better deal on tomatoes. I also suggest to people to really know what they're paying at the store. For example, when you go to the store and it says cabbage is however much a pound, not everybody weighs the cabbage out and does the math of how much that cabbage is going to cost. But when you go to the farmer's market, they say that cabbage is $5. And so it sounds like it might be more, but if you checked your receipt from your grocery shopping at the store, you might be surprised to find out that you paid as much or more for that cabbage, but you didn't do the math ahead of time. So really know the prices that you're paying at the store, and then shop when things are really in season, when they're super abundant. And talk to the farmers and ask them, you know, is there anything that you have a ton of that you're trying to move right now, and see if they have excess of something that they're lowering the price on that week.
You know, there's an article in the Cortez Journal this morning on the Cortez Evening Farmers Market, and there's a picture in there on the one of the farms that's out of Mancos called Food for All.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct, Miles?
Yep. Miles Gallagher,
his farm. So tell us a little bit about his concept of a farm actually gives a certain portion away to those in need. Is that correct?
Yeah, Miles Gallagher in Mancos, he donates a third of all of his produce to charity. And it's a really cool model because he is just growing extra food and putting that food wherever it needs to go. He does a drop in Durango at Montesoup Kitchen when he does the farmer's market over there. And then he's actually been doing a drop in Mancos that I've been picking up since I commute to Cortez a lot. I've been picking that up from him and taking it to the food bank here in Cortez, the Good Samaritan Center down by the post office. And over the course of the winter, I worked with the Good Samaritan Center to get a donation of a fridge. First National Bank donated a double door big commercial fridge. And so I bring yesterday I brought 15 pounds of lettuce and also some food from Mary Beth Gentry of Eagle Tree Farms. Peas, parsley, garlic scapes, green onions, and lots of lettuce. And I took that down to Kristen at the Good Samaritan Center, and she put it in her fridge, and she'll bag it up for patrons that come to the food bank. And she also is really networked with all the soup kitchens, and so she calls the soup kitchens and lets them know that she has an abundance of lettuce and they can come pick it up from her.
Great. Nice networking opportunity to be able to support those farms that also support those in need. We kind of raise all the boats in the community at the same time.
Absolutely.
It's fantastic. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more of the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. We're back with more of the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. My name is Sarah Severson. I'm your host today, and we have the luck of having Gretchen Gronke, community health organizer, with us in the studio. We're going to start this segment with a short promo on a documentary called Open Sesame, The Story of Seeds, that explains a little bit about why saving seeds is important, one of our world's most precious resources at risk.
The biggest threat to food security is when we can't produce our own damn seeds.
I believe that the judge is in the pocket of Monsanto.
And if Monsanto had its way, we won't be producing our own seeds anymore. So, let's grow some seeds!
Let's grow some seeds! collectively, everyone who's involved in this lawsuit could lose everything.
I don't expect it not to be a rather bumpy ride.
Well, the long-term goal of the seed industry is very clearly to control the food supply.
We're becoming very, very unhealthy. We're becoming more unhealthy than we ever were. And it looks like we're going to be put in a situation where we're going to have to protect ourselves. We got some information. It's a start.
You know, in the past 100 years, roughly 90% of our vegetable varieties have gone extinct.
It is a silent global crisis.
Without seeds, nothing else would exist.
And once the diversity is lost, we can't get it back.
Why is the Department of Justice and Federal Trade Commission turning a blind eye to this monopoly that's happening within the seed industry? I mean, this is a seed crisis of epic proportions.
It's tough. It's really hard to keep yourself true to your beliefs.
Wild rice.
Mm-hmm. Rye. Mm-hmm.
Rye is greenish.
It's an acknowledgement that the harvest truly belongs to the people.
We're right on the edge right now. But if we don't start collecting this stuff within the next 10 years, it's going to be gone.
Seeds are like the keys.
Do we want to be the links, or do we want to be the people that broke the link?
The real crime is that you forgot you're in control. That you have an infinite power in a handful of seeds.
Open Sesame were the two words that Alibaba used to open the door to the robber's den.
Seed is the foundation of all life.
Wow, so pretty powerful documentary promo there. Tell us a little bit about where we can see the full feature.
We will be screening the movie at Mount Lookout Grange, the Grange Hall in Mancos, which is at 680 Grand Avenue on the corner of Grand and Spruce, down by the school sort of in Mancos, on July 19th. It's a Saturday at 7 p.m.
And why are you showing this documentary?
Over the winter, we did a series of seed saving workshops at the Grange, and people, we had an overwhelming response. The Grange Hall maxes out at a capacity of 60 people, and I think we packed 70 people in our first workshop. There, we had a tremendous response to the seed saving workshops, and we've been organizing with the Mancos Seed Library to encourage folks to save seeds. It's a huge issue right now. You hear so much about climate change and fossil fuels and clean energy and all these large issues that we're looking at in a long-term sense, and you don't necessarily hear about seeds, and everything rests upon seeds. Everything.
I mean, what is, aren't all seeds sort of the same?
Well, no. There's a lot of difference in seeds, and there are seeds that are adapted to the climate. We all know that we have a really unique climate here and a very a tough climate.
Wait, hold on here. So you're telling me that like a seed grown in Florida or Costa Rica, that's a carrot seed, for example, would be a very different seed than a seed grown in the Southwest?
Absolutely. Yeah. The seeds that are grown in one area over time will adapt to that climate, just like we do as people. The seeds that are grown here in our area are going to be more drought tolerant. They're going to be more able to handle our super hot day temperature and our real cool night temperature. That's not a pattern you have in a lot of places in the country where it gets hot during the day and it cools down so quickly at night, but we all know that here. And the drought tolerance is crucial, critical. You know, a lot of the seed companies are out of the Midwest or out of the South, and those places have a lot more water and a lot more general humidity than we do. And you bring some of those seeds here and they struggle. Those plants struggle to try to keep up when there's not enough water. And as we face ongoing drought and prepare for a future of limited water resources, it's really important that seeds are adapted to our climate so that they can thrive here, that our food sources are thriving.
Right. So also in the Cortez Journal this morning, there was talking about Montezuma County was designated a natural disaster area because of drought conditions the last 8 weeks and continually through the last 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
So why would seeds You know, for example, a seed packet that I would buy at City Market that comes from who knows where, or Monsanto as a large seed corporation. Why should I choose my local seeds and seed saving techniques over the ones that I can purchase very easily and mm-hmm. propagate in the gardens?
Good question. For one, the seeds, if you can get seeds locally or produce your own seeds, they're gonna start to adapt to the climate, or they will already be adapted to the climate, and they'll need less water and be more able to handle our conditions. For two, a lot of commercially produced seeds are very heavily chemically treated, chemically fertilized, pesticides and herbicides, and the whole gamut on those seeds. So you bring them to your little backyard garden where you're not spraying anything, you're just amending the soil with compost. And those seeds are adapted to high input systems, which we're not using, and most of our local farmers are not using those types of systems. So you have a seed that's dependent. It's almost like an addiction or something. You have a seed that's dependent on these chemical inputs. We want resilient seeds that can handle life. We want resilient seeds that are so strong that they can survive the pests, that they can survive the weeds, they can survive they can pull the nutrients up from deep in the soil. So we want seeds that can do it without all those inputs.
Okay. So, boy, we ran out of time this morning. There's so much more to talk about in terms of seed saving. So if people want to go see the Open Sesame Story of Seeds, again, what's the date and time on that?
So it'll be Saturday, July 19th at 7 p.m. at the Mount Lookout Grange in Mancos at 680 Grand Avenue.
Okay, great. And then there's also a seed saving school. Just give information and contact information for that.
Absolutely. We will have seed school in a day with two fabulous teachers, Bill McDormand and Belle Starr, who used to teach for Native Seed Search. They now run their own organization called Rocky Mountain Seed Alliance. Bill and Belle are featured in Open Sesame. So if you see the movie, you'll get to see the teachers. That class will be Saturday, August 9th from 9 to 5, also at Mount Lookout Grange in Mancos.
And for more information on that, what's the contact?
For more information, you can go to rockymountainseeds.org or call 928-300-7989. And the cost of that class is $60 per person, and that includes lunch.
Okay, great. When's the next Tuesday for Cortez Evening Farmers Market, real quick?
August 5th.
Okay, great. Thanks so much, Gretchen, for being on the show. You're listening to the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. Tune in 2 weeks on July 22nd at 8:30 a.m. for the next edition. I'm Sarah Severson, your host, signing off saying, friend a farmer this week.